Happy Monday, my friends. Have you been enjoying this month's episodes that are all centered around the theme, you are your child's most important teacher? I truly feel that these episodes are some of the most important we've ever had on 3 and 30, and I want to say thank you to our sponsor who has made them possible, because they believe in the importance of engaged, intentional mothers as much as I do. Our sponsor this month is The Mama Ladder, specifically their six-month business accelerator program for mom entrepreneurs called Mama Power, which is open for enrollment now through October 15th. And I've been a member of Mama Power for the past 6 months, and I want to tell you my three favorite parts of the program and how it has blessed my business. You know that I love to do things in threes. So first, I love the hands-on help for my business from expert service providers. One of my biggest struggles as a mom entrepreneur is lack of time. And before joining Mama Power, I had a long list of my business to-dos, such as learning SEO, talking to a lawyer to get things legit, managing my finances better, figuring out Facebook ads, etc., 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 etc. But I never got to those things because keeping up with the daily demands of my work and my family was too much. As a Mama Power member, I have had access to the Mama Ladder's dream team of expert service providers. I got to choose three services for them to do for me, with me, so I would know how to do it on my own in the future. I've accomplished so much behind the scenes in my business these past 6 months, thanks to these awesome service providers. The second thing I love about Mama Power is the group coaching calls with the co-founder of Mama Power, Krista Lee Beck. You may know that Krista Lee was my one-on-one business coach for much of last year, and she has a gift for helping overwhelmed women find their next right step and move forward with confidence. I'm grateful that as a member of Mama Power, I get to hear Krista Lee's wisdom in our monthly group calls, as well as hearing the wisdom and insight from other mom entrepreneurs in the group. And my third favorite aspect of Mama Power is the Mama Spring Break Retreat. So as part of the membership, I got to attend Mama Spring Break, which is the premier business and adventure retreat for mom entrepreneurs. It's a 3-day event, and I got to learn from top-level business women, as well as collaborate and bond with other attendees who are in the trenches of building their dreams with me. So these are just three reasons why I love being a member of Mama Power. And if you are a mom who's serious about building your business, I invite you to join me. I would love to be on those group coaching calls with you these next 6 months. All of the info can be found at 3and30podcast.com/Mama Power. And now on to the show. This is episode 101, Why and How to Talk to Your Kids About Skin Tone and Race. Welcome to 3 and 30, a podcast for moms who want to create more meaning in motherhood. Each 30-minute episode will feature three doable takeaways for you to try at home with your family this week. I'm your host, Rachel Nielsen. Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to be honest and tell you that I feel vulnerable going into today's conversation. Whereas a few weeks ago, I told you that I feel really confident and empowered when teaching my kids about their bodies and sex, today's topic is one that I do not feel confident addressing, and honestly, that makes me feel a little ashamed because this topic matters so much, and I feel like I should know how to talk to my kids about it. I think it's really common when we realize that we're uneducated in certain areas to just stay quiet about it, because if we talk about it, we might say something that reveals how uneducated we are, or worse, we might say something that is offensive or hurt someone. So it's easier to just not talk about it at all. But staying quiet and uneducated is not the answer. Answers come from seeking learning and asking for help, which is why I asked Dr. Lucretia Berry to come on the show today. Dr. Berry is the founder of Brownicity, Many Hues, One Humanity, an agency dedicated to advocacy, education, and support for racial healing and anti-racism. She has a PhD in curriculum and instruction and has dedicated her life to developing and teaching anti-racism curriculum to college and high school students, adults through ministry and online, and of course, within her own home as the mother of three beautiful daughters. It's an honor for me to be taught by her today and to share this conversation with all of you who are listening.
So Dr. Barry, welcome to 3 and 30.
Why, thank you. Rachel, what a beautiful introduction.
Oh, thank you well, so much. You've been so kind to talk to me a few times. I actually don't ever really do this, but I had a pre-interview phone call with you because I just wanted to tell you, I feel nervous about this. And you're like, it's okay. This is where we all start.
Yes.
When we feel nervous about it. And I have grown up in a predominantly white community mm-hmm. and live in one now. And I want to talk more about race, but I don't mm-hmm. know how. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said in that intro, it's easier to just kind of stay silent, but that's not the answer. So mm-hmm. I'm so excited that you're going to teach us, especially because I did survey the audience of 3 and 30, and I found that 97% of the moms who are listening are white mothers. Mm-hmm. And I want this community to be more diverse and to have a variety of viewpoints and ethnicities and religions. And I want us to know how to interact and talk to one another. And so I just think this is such an important episode. And thank you for coming on and teaching us.
Well, thank you for having me, and you're welcome. And I love that you are starting and even admitting that you are uncomfortable, but you are doing it anyway. And yes. That's brave. So thank yeah. you.
And let's just start in with your first takeaway.
Okay. Well, my first takeaway for moms and parents is to reject the colorblind approach as a solution or as an idea to talk to your children about skin tone and race. And I do distinguish, not everyone distinguishes and uses the two words that I do. I say skin tone and race because they are different. Let me explain that I am in a multi-ethnic family. So I am African-American or Black, and my husband is a white American. So he's in the white racial category, and he is probably mostly Italian and then some German and Scottish and Native American. So just think about in our family, we are actually five different skin tones. So that's why I make a distinction between the word skin tones and then racial categories. And so, mm-hmm. for example, we're one family, but my husband would probably be, he would probably remain, you know, in the white racial category is how he'd be categorized. I would remain or be categorized in the Black racial category. And then my daughters, well, it just depends on, you know, if they're what they look like and how they would be categorized. That's why we distinguish between skin tone and racial category, because they're very different. And being a family of multiple hues early on, talking about our looks and what we look like involves a creative vocabulary, and children see color just as we do. So again, I'm using my family as an example. Our children definitely see that their father, just as they can probably see that he is a man, and they'll see that I am a woman. You know, they get the words for that later in life, but they see that we're different, but they also see that we look different. And mm-hmm. so we need words for that, that also help them understand that though, you know, daddy is a different skin tone than mommy, you know, we are this one family. So children need this language to be able to describe, you know, what they are seeing. Mm-hmm. And so what the colorblind approach does, even though it sounds good in theory, you know, oh, everybody's equal, we're all the same. It sounds good in theory, but it actually isn't true. I mean, yes, we are all valuable people, but in honest earnestness, the world, or even let's just stick with the United States and our history of our country, we won't be treated the same, or different values are placed on us differently based on how we look. And so that is so for, you know, your sex. So whether you're a man or a woman, you know, so we're, you know, still wanting to be equal there, but we're not there. And so that goes the same for how we look. So everyone is equal, and I'm using air quotes. So, so everyone
like inherently,
is equal.
Like to yeah. God, everyone is equal, but that's not the way that.
Yeah, everyone is valuable. So everyone is yes. valuable, but that's not the way we are treated in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. so that can be where we want to go, right? But colorblindness is not how we get there, because colorblindness actually robs us of language. and a framework and permission or power to get us there. Colorblindness kind of shuts us down saying, well, I don't see that you look different than I do. And I don't see that you may have to walk through the world differently than I do. So colorblindness is kind of a silencing thing, shuts things down. Yeah.
I've heard someone say the term color silence mm-hmm. is similar to color blindness of right. just not, mm-hmm. I don't see color. I don't talk about color. Mm-hmm. But really you can't address what you can't see. And so you can't address these inequalities in our world right. if you're refusing right. to even see that they exist.
Right. Yes. And typically when people are saying it, what they're saying is, I'm not racist. So mm-hmm. they say, I'm colorblind. I don't see color. And what they're really trying to communicate is, you know, I'm not racist and I love everyone. And that's great. Like, I'm not racist either. Mm-hmm. And I love most people. You know, I still got to work on loving everybody. I'm being honest. But we still have systems of inequality in place that yes. need, that we have the power to dismantle if only we allow ourselves to function in the fullness of our power to dismantle it. So if we just shut down an education and we shut down hearing people's stories, or we shut down the truth by saying, well, I'm colorblind, I don't see color. So then what we do is we relinquish our power, right? To make it better. We relinquish our power to engage in the truth and construct and create the world that we actually want and know is yes. possible. So yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if we're not going to be colorblind, what should we do? How do we talk to our children about race and color? So,
let me tell you, that leads us to takeaway number two. Talking to children about it is so easy. And adults get so nervous, which I totally understand that, because the race and racism is a construct that has been weaponized. And so then a part of it, of weaponizing it, is for us to be in the dark about it. And as a person who teaches adults and children and engages in these conversations, children are so easy and fun. And so what you want to do, takeaway number two, is normalize conversations about skin tone and race with your children so that they can be consciously, fluently, confidently navigate our hyper-racialized society. You know, we don't want our children to go into any space, or, you know, we don't want them to go someplace and feel ill-equipped and inadequate. And oftentimes when I'm, for example, talking to my high school students who are in the white racial category, they express frustration at not having had these conversations and had this education early on in life. And, yeah. And children are perfectly capable. They're so easy because they haven't been taught to feel shame or guilt yet about it. They don't have the insecurity about it. And they are brave. They're brave and they're curious. And so when we would sit down and talk to our children, we just basically started with the hues of brown, which is where the term brownicity comes from. We would start with hues of brown. My daughter said, Daddy is light brown. Mommy, you're dark brown. And I'm medium brown. So that's how we would describe people. Brown like mommy, brown like daddy, no brown like you, or somewhere. And so that's where brown. And then icity comes from ethnicity. And ethnicity means that which we have in common. And we as humans, we are all hues of brown because melanin is brown. So we're all hues of brown. And that's where our tagline comes from. We're many hues, but one humanity. We are human family. So again, it's easy to start there with children. There's some books we use that I love because they do the work for you, like All the Colors We Are, that basically explains why our skin is different, and it explains the biological environmental reason. And it's a kid's book. So adults can just read it for themselves. Oh, okay. It's that simple. And then you read it to your child, and it even has guided conversations or guided prompts, prompt guides, so that you can have more conversations with your children. I love The Colors of Us. That's another good one. again, these children's books that allow you to have a normal conversation with your child. And then, you know, yes, what happens is they have language, and then they get, then they have these conversations with you in public in front of people. Yeah. And that's always an adventure, you know, like, yes. Mommy, yes. She has more melanin than you. And I'm, oh, yes, she does. It's so beautiful, you know.
So, yeah, so, oh, that's so great. And I have to tell you, I looked at your website to prepare for this interview, and I saw your children's books recommendation. Mm-hmm. And I wrote them all down.
Oh, great.
And I went to the library.
Oh, and
there was not one, oh, not one, mm, of those books was in our community library.
Okay, get them in there.
Which, that, I mean that, exactly. Yeah. So I, yeah, ordered them all. Mm. I ordered every single one.
Yes. I'm going to go ask some more.
And I'm going to read them to my children, right, and we're going to choose a few that we're going to keep, and then we're going to, mm-hmm, maybe we'll keep them all. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But then we're going to give the rest of that library, or we're going to, oh, order extra, wonderful, copies for that library, because, yeah, I couldn't believe that not one of the, mm-hmm, recommended books. And they're not like really obscure. These are pretty, I mean, famous books.
About, right.
And they were in my library, which, so we're starting on this path with in my home.
Thank
and
you.
I love just the simple explanation, right, of melanin.
Yes.
Is so, and that honestly is, that's a new revelation to me to, okay, be able to explain it that way, which, mm-hmm, might sound ridiculous, but, mm-hmm, because when a child asks, why is her color a different, why, mm-hmm, is her skin a different color?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the like biological understanding to explain that until, right, I recently, again, preparing, mm-hmm, for this interview, listened, mm-hmm, to a podcast, which I'm going to link, called First Name Basis.
Mm.
And she talked about just explain melanin. I'm like, mm-hmm, oh, there you go. Like, yep, you have less and she has more melanin.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about, so you're saying to normalize these conversations. Mm-hmm. So how would you approach it if my child said, mm-hmm, something to me, mm-hmm, that indicated some like implicit or some bias in within, right, them? And there's, mm-hmm, part of you that's horrified and wants to shut it down, but then that's not going to normalize conversation. So how, right, do you not shame them if they say something like, oh, that's ugly, or, mm-hmm, that's how, what, yeah, do you do with that? As a mother.
Okay, so always ask questions. Ask questions. Why do you think that? Where, you know, could you tell me more about that? Because, you know, what is happening is that, yes, children are observing the differences from as early as 3 or 6 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time they're like 5, 6, or 7, they have observed some things in society, right? And they've seen that, okay, maybe all their television shows that they're watching, or the people they see at church or at school, the leaders, the teachers, the people in the White House, they're seeing that, okay, these people maybe are all look like me, and they're all white. And maybe they rarely see people of color, or maybe when they do see people of color, they are not in positions of power. Children have observed it all, and they're trying to make sense of it. And so if you're not having like open conversations in your home, and you're silencing them, saying, shh, we don't talk about that, then they just trying to figure it out in their heads, and they're just replicating what they are seeing. So, mm-hmm, when they say things, they're simply trying to make sense of what they have observed. Well, this must mean that this is dirty. This person is dirty, or this person, you know, this brown come off, that type of thing. So you just, allow the conversation to unfold, continue to ask questions. And then, yes, as a parent, the more you know about skin tone, mm-hmm, like melanin and ancestral and environmental origins, like if your ancestors were closer to the equator, you have more melanin. If your ancestors were further away from the equator, you have lighter melanin. But the more you understand that, and then the more you understand how racial categories were created, mm, and how that has functioned in our society, then you can explain that to a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old in terms of what they need. Because what you don't have to do is unload everything in that one sitting. You can just maybe ask some questions, and it could be so simple, like, you know, well, I thought that because, you know, my skin like looks like this and I'm good, you know, and all children think that, you know, they're good. So then someone who looks different from me, then they must be bad. So again, if you ask questions, then you can kind of see where their line of thinking is coming from or where it's headed. And then you can address that specifically. So
yeah,
you see?
Yes, you know what I mean? I do see. Yes. And I feel like this is so similar to so many of the other topics we've talked about on the show, where it's just be open to listening to your kids answering their questions and fight against the instinct to shame or act shocked or for so many different topics. Mm-hmm. Just hear them out and say, well, where is this coming from? Mm-hmm. And then talk to them about what they're observing about the world around them.
Don't get upset. Just, you know, it's the same as if they're asking about why are the leaves turning brown and falling off the tree or whatever. You know, they're just needing some help negotiating these meanings. And so also, parents, don't be afraid if you don't have an answer. So maybe you'd say, well, you know, I don't know why that is. Let's explore that together. Because I think a lot of times parents and teachers feel like they have to know like the answer. And maybe the opportunity that is presenting itself is not asking for the right answer, but it's asking for exploration and journey.
Mm. And it is like what I said in that intro, where I think sometimes it pricks at us that I should know the answer to this. It touches on your own insecurity of I'm uneducated in this area. Mm-hmm. I should know. And so, but rather than getting defensive or shutting down or shutting them down, that's just a little indicator. Oh, I need to learn more about that thing. Right. So I can learn with my child. Yes. I don't have to be the authority. I can say, I don't know why that person's skin is darker. Let's find out. Let's do some research and learn about skin tone.
That's right.
Or whatever the topic may be.
Yes.
Which I think leads really well into your third takeaway.
Yes. And so takeaway number three is invest in racism education in order to gain understanding. I think often what has happened with the topic and racism, people leave it to maybe I'll just engage in maybe a discussion, or I'll watch this person talk about it one time, or I'll go to this one time event that my church has, or this one time thing that my school has. Because it's so pervasive and prevalent in our society, it touches all of us. I know we've been taught that race and racism only touch people of color, but that's not true. It touches all of us in these ways that you won't understand until you really learn, have a formal education on the construct. And that's why I'm so passionate about learning, having a learning-centered space. And I'm excited that now, in this day and age, so much great content is being created. That has not always been the case. There's great books and classes, podcasts, teachers. And so, you know, just like anything, the whole sowing and reaping principle, you're going to get out of it what you put into it. And so I want to encourage people to invest. So, you know, if you want to be a better photographer and take better pictures of your kids, like, you'll pay some, you know, maybe $25 to take a class or do something so that you get better results. And so you want to find resources, invest in your journey for education, not just listening to opinions and, you know, maybe political persuasive talk and things like that. You want to invest in education.
So, yes. Yeah. And I love in this takeaway that you point out that education de-weaponizes. Mm-hmm. But informal discussions can be very hostile at times, goodness. Or can get. And so that, like, going into informal conversations about race or politics or anything else can often lead to you just withdrawing and saying, like, it's too much. I don't like the contention. I don't understand. Versus, but like reading a book about something, like, there's that's not weaponized to just read and learn and come to conclusions for yourself and see the facts having to do with the issues going on in our country.
Right.
And, I love the resources that you have put together to do that. And I want you to tell the listeners a little bit about what you have available if they want to dive in more into this race and anti-racism education.
Right. So I love what you said, Rachel, about how the contention and the tension and how that, and here I am with, you know, a doctorate in education. I have been doing this work for decades. And I love teaching on it because I love using education to liberate people from their fear. And even I know that I am not suited for like the informal discussions. Like sometimes when people want to do that with, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not that person because I can't, I'm not built for that. I'm more of a, you know, let's just sit down and learn together and grow together.
And you're not saying don't have conversations about race.
No,
that because that's very important. And in fact, many of your resources, you've written a book, which I have here right in front of me.
Right.
It is essentially a discussion guide. It's a way to have discussions with a group of people that are similarly interested in growing and learning. It's a so that's more of a formal discussion. It's very important to have discussions, but with education behind it.
It's important
and
to have
a community.
Yeah, informed discussions. So you want to have informed discussions, not uninformed opinions debating. That's what you don't want to do. That's what's not helpful. But yes, informed dialogue, pointing towards a goal, a healthy goal is what you want. So that's the difference. So a lot of people have been traumatized by the uninformed debates that often sometimes accompany this topic and conversation. But what we want to shift to is educated, informed dialogue with the goal of creating something better. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And you have done that. You've created resources for people to do that.
Yes.
So tell us about those.
Right. So I have created a curriculum. It's called What Lies Between Us, with the play on the word lies. And it's, this beginner foundational type of class. And you can just get What Lies Between Us journal and guide. You can get that at Amazon. Or if you can go to brownicity.com, that's even easier. How about I send you there? So you can go to brownicity.com. And if you click on learn, the learn link, then that gives you options to either join our membership, which is a learning centered space where we offer classes, or you can purchase the What Lies Between Us journal and guide. And then the resources that accompany that guide are a part of the membership as well. They're free. Mm-hmm. So, yes. So if you go to brownicity.com and you click on learn, then that gives you options of how to continue to learn with us. And us is, there's a team of us. There's a team that makes up Brownicity, and we are all of us, I think. Yes, all of us are parents. We are from different ethnic groups and racial categories, and we're different. We have professors and business people and like stay-at-home moms, working moms, immigrants, a pastor. So it's a group of 12 of solid people who are for you and have grace and passion and want to help you along your journey, your learning journey.
It sounds like a beautiful environment. And I know when we've talked about it, you said it's like we're inviting you in into our table. Like, come talk with us about this. We want you here. And so I encourage everyone to go to brownicity.com to learn more about that opportunity and that work. And before we end, Dr. Berry, could you recap your three takeaways for us?
Sure. Okay. Takeaway number one is reject the colorblind approach as a solution. It doesn't work. Number two is to normalize conversations about skin tone and race with children so that they can consciously, fluently, and confidently navigate our hyper-racialized society. And number three is invest into an anti-racism education so that you can gain understanding and autonomy.
Thank you so much for this conversation. Something that you said in there, you said that your goal is to liberate people from fear.
Yes.
And when you said that, it resonated with me because yes. I feel like you've done that for me a little bit today,
yes.
where you've liberated me from some of this fear and yes. awkwardness and mm-hmm. shame that I felt that I'm not more educated in this way. We all start somewhere.
That's right.
And I have to tell you, just preparing for this interview, mm-hmm. I learned so much and felt that even with just the few things that I read and the podcast that I listened to and mm-hmm. that I'm miles ahead of where I was. So it's not mm-hmm. a daunting undertaking.
No.
We can do this
yeah.
and we need to. We need to yeah. do it for our children mm-hmm. and for the health of our nation
right.
and our world. So thank you for this work that you're doing and for coming on 3 and 30.
And thank you for getting on the journey, starting the journey. Thank you. And thank you for having us. Thank you.
Oh, so much there in that conversation and so much more to say on this super important topic. The best place you can go in addition to Dr. Barry's website is go sign up for my weekly newsletter because I am going to be sending out all sorts of resources. I'll be sending a link to Dr. Barry's website. I will be sending a little review of some of my favorite children's books about skin tone and race that I have been reading this week, the past few weeks, as well as a link to some favorite podcasts I've listened to. I really try to make that weekly email valuable with all of the additional resources you need to dive into the topic. So make sure you go to 3and30podcast.com/takeaways to get on that list. I appreciate all of you for being willing to go deep with me this month into kind of these bigger, heavier topics that are so important. I'm slightly exhausted. Are you exhausted from listening to all of these and thinking about all of the things that we need to talk to our kids about? But like I said, we all start somewhere, and small and simple, just starting with reading some children's books to our kids about these different topics, it all adds up. So keep up the good work, moms. Keep coming back for more 3 and 30, and we can keep digging deep together. And I hope you have a great week with your family.